You are listening to the Supermoms Getting Tired podcast. I'm your host, Tori Henderson, and this is episode 167. All links and show notes can be found by going to lifecoachingforparents.com/167.
Welcome to the Supermom is Getting Tired podcast. This show is designed for moms who invest everything into parenting, but get overwhelmed, lost, and resentful. Listen and learn how to unburden yourself. Feel calm, full of energy, and in control. I'm your host, Master Certified Life Coach, teacher, and recovering supermom, Tori Henderson.
Hello, supermoms. Happy spring. I hope spring is in the air where you are. I have spent my whole life living in the San Francisco Bay Area with, well, almost my whole life, no seasons really to speak of. And so now that I live in the mountains and I have four seasons, I can see why people like it. It's really quite exciting. So I hope you're getting a little taste of spring. I am very excited today because we are going to talk about the Enneagram Type 8. Now, this is the one I've been looking forward to because I live with two Type 8s and I really was looking forward to this deep dive to help me learn how to navigate this relationship in a way that helps them get what they want and for us to have a peace, because the Enneagram Type 8 is called the Challenger, which means they like to challenge people, authority, the status quo, any expectations put on them. So when you're the parent of a Type 8 Challenger, it can be very challenging. So I always said that my daughter and I, our problems we had with our relationships could be summarized by one sentence, which went, two queens, one castle. The Enneagram Type 8 is a leader, but it's hard to be a leader when you're a child. And so the way in which children practice their leadership skills is by pushing back against authority. So if you are sitting here thinking, Tori, I do not believe in this Enneagram personality typing thing. What a stupid waste of time. Then you might be an eight because you are already challenging this Enneagram and you're challenging the idea that anybody could put anybody in a box and summarize it. And so if you like to challenge things, push back, argue, you don't take anything at face value, then you might be an eight and you might want to listen because there could be some helpful tips in this. And certainly if you live with an eight or work with an eight, I highly suggest learning more about the leader or the challenger Enneagram type. So Enneagram Type 8s enjoy taking on challenges, like I said, with authority, status quo, or any obstacle that prevents them from getting what they want. So once they set their mind on something, they have incredible determination and stick-to-itiveness because it's what they want. So they can blow past any obstacles. Eights also enjoy challenging others to be their best, even if they're hated for it. So I got the opportunity to watch Brooke Castillo, the owner of the Life Coach School. I went through her training program years ago, back before the Life Coach School even existed. And she is a very clear Type 8 with the seven wings. So she leans towards the Type 7 enthusiast. And so every type has a wing. And sometimes you might lean more towards one number than the other. So you might, if you take the quiz online, it might give you the answer, but you can lean towards the numbers on either side of it. So if you are a Type 9, you might lean towards a one, you might have one wing or an eight wing. So with the Type 8s, if you lean towards the seven, the enthusiast, then you have a lot of energy and you might be more extroverted and people-oriented. And if you lean towards the nine wing, you might be a little bit quieter, a little more introverted, but still very strong-willed, okay? So Brooke Castillo was an amazing coach. She doesn't coach one-on-one that much anymore, but when you watch her, like, people would get so mad at her for trying to get the best out of them. It was really interesting to watch. It's like people would hang up the phone on her, and even though she's just there pushing people past their own limitations and helping them be the best versions of themselves. So It's an interesting thing to watch. Enneagram type 8s find their identity by overcoming obstacles and imposing their will on their environment. They pursue the truth. They like to keep control of situations and make important things happen. 8s, I wanted to pause because 8s do have a yearning to make important things happen. They aren't necessarily content with just a small life. They might be more interested in macro managing than in micromanaging, although they do micromanage as well. 8s are self-confident, strong, and assertive. They are protective, resourceful, helpful, and warm. Also, straight-talking and decisive. They like action, and they assert control over their environment with speed and intensity. I remember I was on a hike with my husband, who's a type A, and we're on this hiking trail with a hill on one side and a creek down on the other. And so we're walking, and we come across this group of cows that were grazing right in the middle of the hiking trail. So I'm trying to be polite and like respectful and kind of like tiptoe around them so that I don't fall in the creek, but kind of going near the hill and just sort of making myself small and invisible. And my husband follows along and does what I do. But on the way back, my husband's like, impatient. He's like, I don't have time for this. And he pushes out his energy. Now, you couldn't see him do anything. I was like, how did you do that? He just does something internally in his body where he pushes his will on his environment, and these cows start scrambling. They start scurrying away down into the creek. I mean, running, stampeding is probably a better word. They just started stampeding down the hill into the creek. None of them fell, so that's good. I would have felt guilty. But this is a skill that 8s have where they can impose their will on their environment and use powerful energy to make things happen. Their charisma, their energy, their vitality makes them natural leaders. You might be doing what an 8 tells you to do without even realizing it. I remember my friend was coaching our son's soccer team, and she had to get my husband to be the assistant coach because the boys wouldn't listen to her. Because her voice was so high and she needed his like commanding voice and leadership energy, and the boys would just hush down and then listen to the coach. So this comes naturally to the 8s, but they also have a very protective nature and direct communication skills. So these things, protective of the things that they love, make parenting sort of easy and natural for 8s. I think of all the types, because the 8s is such a natural leader that, and parenting is a leadership role, that it sort of comes naturally to them. It's not something, I don't get a lot of 8s coming for life coaching. You know, Supermom isn't getting tired because she's an 8. So she has no problem imposing her will over the children or the house or her environment. So type 8s always do what they feel is right, even when it goes against what others think is right. So if you have a kid who's an 8, they're going to value what they think is right over what you think is right as the adult or the teacher or the parent. So 8s role model independence for their kids. They role model and encourage hard work, determination, confidence, and authenticity in their children. 8s really value authenticity, the healthy ones. Enneagram type 8s can be fierce advocates for their children, fighting for their rights, providing a safe and secure home, and setting firm boundaries. I mean, the teachers can be scared of Enneagram type 8's parents because they will make sure that they get everything they want their child to have in a school system. 8s enjoy heated debates because they like the power that comes with intensity, and expressing anger helps them feel powerful. Anger can overtake them unless it is released immediately. So we want to remember that even though anger is the first thing to show up in the 8s, it's sort of their default emotion, underneath the anger and quick action are often feelings of vulnerability, sadness, and anxiety. So I remember when Brooke Castillo was building her business. I mean, she was taking lots of quick action, but she was so anxious all along the way that the quick action she was taking and being decisive and doing these things was her way of coping with the anxiety she felt. So the core fear for the Enneagram Type 8 is the fear of being controlled, being abandoned, or being harmed by others or the environment. So they don't feel this fear because they avoid vulnerable emotions, right? They don't want to feel fear. It's the anger is the default, but the fear is really what's underneath that. The core desire for the AIDS is to protect themselves and be in control of their own life and their own destiny. And the core motivation is to prove their strength and resist weakness, to be important in their world, to dominate the environment, and to stay in control. So vulnerability provides the opportunity to be hurt or abandoned. So AIDS avoid it. I don't want that. Why would I want to feel vulnerable? And so they push others away. They struggle to connect with their softer side because of the fear of being hurt, because AIDS truly have very sensitive souls. Do not let that anger fool you. When they can open their hearts and trust people, they have enormous potential to use their strength for the greater good. At their best, AIDS can be heroic, magnanimous, and inspiring. Elaine's story was, she was a mom. I was hanging out with her. She was very strong, charismatic. I'd met her through a mother's club when our kids were little. And we were at a house for her house for playgroup. And she was talking about her plans to homeschool her kids. So she and her husband had been entrepreneurs and they felt the school system had inadequately prepared them for adulthood. So their plan was to unschool their kids, which means not having any specific curriculum, just exposing kids to life experiences and letting the kids take the lead on what they are interested in learning. Now, Elaine was impressive. She could sell it. She had a friend who would teach kids woodworking and mechanics and another friend, artist friend, who was going to let them create in their studio. And she had so many cool ideas and they were going to work on a farm. And she was determined to give her kids a unique educational experience so that they could blaze their own trails, pursue their own passions, build their own businesses, instead of being just a pawn in a cog in someone else's machine and being told what to learn. However, when our sons were 5, her son got jealous about some of the activities happening at my son's school. My son was asked, he was in regular school, and he was asked to bring in an item that started with each letter of the alphabet. Well, this boy latched onto this idea and he was so excited. He runs to his mom and he's like, I want to find something that starts with the letter D. Please, can I bring something that starts with the letter D to school? And he was so excited about this, but his mom was annoyed. She's like, you don't just copy someone else's idea. Like, think for yourself. What are you interested in? What are you passionate about? You don't want to just learn about Ds. Like, don't you want to learn about like trucks or helicopters or trains or whatever he was into at the time? She was so wrapped up in being anti-establishment that she didn't see that he had found something that interested him. She could have done the exact same activity at home and said, okay, bring an item that starts with a D to the dinner table tonight. It would have been very easy to appease him without giving up on her homeschooling dreams. But because she held so tightly to her ideas that he shouldn't want to go to school, he decided school was a thing worth fighting for. So he begged and he pressured to go to school, even though I think it was really just the structured assignment that he craved. And she could have offered it to him. So this type 8 supermom struggled to value his priorities higher than her own or believe that he could actually enjoy and benefit from a traditional school. You know, we forget that like our kids are different personalities than we are. So just because school maybe wasn't a fit for you, it might be a fit for your kid. So it took some time, but Elaine finally reconciled that her son had a different personality than she did, and the type of education that she and her husband wished they'd had was not a perfect fit for their child. And he went to school. Eights are the true rugged individualists of the Enneagram. More than any other type, they stand alone. They want to be independent and resist being indebted to anyone. They often refuse to give in to social conventions, and they can defy fear, shame, concern about the consequences of their actions. They have a lot of confidence in themselves. Although they are usually aware of what people think about them, they don't let the opinions of others sway them. They go about their business with a steely determination that can be awe-inspiring and intimidating to others. But when you are the mother of a type 8 Enneagram who does not care what anyone else thinks, including their mother or society or culture or peers, it's exhausting. So, because they resist being controlled, right? So anything that's my idea means my 8 thinks I'm trying to control her, which essentially I am. As my husband says, you can't expect to be a parenting coach and only have easy children, Tori. Here are 3 questions to help determine if you might be an 8. Number 1, do you have an extraordinarily strong exterior, one that is sometimes intimidating to others, but that hides a less visible but highly vulnerable interior? Number 2, do you tend to be excessive in what you do? Like all or nothing with, like, let's say you don't exercise for a year, but then you go run a marathon in one day. Or you go off of sugar for a year and then you decide that you're going to become a baker and bake cupcakes every day. Like things like that. This idea that you can never get enough of a good thing. Like if you like money, you want lots of money. Number 3, do you have immediate impulses to take strong and forceful action, particularly when you are feeling anxious and vulnerable? I remember my daughter texting me from the dentist chair where she feels vulnerable because she does not like dentists or doctors. And she's texting me like, I want to punch him in the face. And I'm like, that's forceful and strong action that she had an immediate impulse to take. But I'm very grateful she did not punch her dentist in the face. She just texted me how she was feeling about it. 5 challenges that Enneagram type 8s may encounter while parenting children. So, like I said, Enneagram type 8s are natural born leaders. They tend to take to parenting pretty well. But here are a couple that they might run into. Number 1 is struggle with authority. So type 8 parents may find it challenging to sort of share their authority with their children or with teachers or principals and things like that. They're very comfortable with their own authority and they may not want to share that leadership role. Number 2, an overbearing nature. They might come across as too forceful, intense, or intimidating for sensitive kids. Like you might have like a neighbor kid come over and be scared of the Enneagram 8 parent. So friends might not want to hang out at your house because of the overbearing nature. But usually the kids, you know, they grow up with their parents, so they're used to it. So, but the desire for control can make it challenging sometimes for kids to express their own opinions and make decisions separate from their 8 parent. And so they might not find their voice as quickly as if they had a parent who had a different personality type. Number 3, impatience. Type 8s, I was going to say may struggle with patience, but no, they always struggle with patience. Type 8s are not known for their patience. They expect immediate compliance from their children and become frustrated when things don't go their way. Number 4, difficulty with vulnerability. As I mentioned before, they might have a hard time showing tenderness or their softer side, which can impact their ability to connect emotionally with their children. Because 8s like to prioritize strength and resilience over emotional support and empathy. So if your child is having a hard time, like maybe goes through depression or gets anxiety or has some sort of illness, it could be really hard for that Enneagram type 8 parent to sort of be the emotional support and empathetic. They're more likely to go like advocate and fight the medical system or fight the schools because they want to channel that energy. And the 5th thing 8s might struggle with is delegating. 8s do not delegate well. or easily. They really struggle to work as a team. And so if they want to like delegate tasks and responsibilities to their children, that's going to be challenging for them because, of course, we know the kids don't do it the way you want them to do it. So eights are really the last of all types to seek the help of a life coach, I think. And maybe it's just me because I'm kind of the super mom is getting tired and the eights are like super but not tired. They've got lots of energy and they're natural leaders. But if they do seek life coaching, they usually like it because the coach is willing to challenge their thinking directly and help them know the truth from the widest possible perspectives. Eights like the truth. They like authenticity and they like to macro manage. So coaching appeals to their ability to control their outcomes. So what eights gain from life coaching is, number one, to feel less guilty for their own behavior because they know that their behavior can be off-putting sometimes and that yet they maybe can't control it or manage it. So it helps them feel less guilty. Number two, to feel less responsible for others. Think about it for a minute. These are leaders. They take on responsibility wherever they go. You walk into the PTA meeting, suddenly you're running the landscaping committee. You know, you go to parent-teacher conferences, suddenly you're the room mom. And this happens at work, at home. I remember Brooke Castillo saying that when every place she goes, people assume she works there. Like she's at Nordstrom shopping and they assume she works there. She could be at a grocery store and they'll ask her like, where can I find? She has an air of leadership authority about her. And so then people just start to depend and rely on, they start to feel very responsible. Okay. Number three is eights can gain from life coaching is to manage their abundant energy without imploding or exploding, but how to like channel it and fuel it and deal with those softer emotions, those vulnerable emotions. To understand the personalities of those that think and feel differently is super helpful for the eight because that doesn't come naturally. And to feel strong even when feeling vulnerable and weak. How do we do that? So I did have a client named, I'll call Shanna. Shanna came to life coaching ready to explode. She felt betrayed and ready to smack some people upside the head because the people she wanted to hurt was a 13-year-old girl and her mother. She did not, but she was struggling to know what to do with her fury. She had formed a tight friendship with this neighbor mom and the daughter. Their daughters were best friends for like 10 years of life. They were filled with sleepovers at each other's houses and carpools and celebrations and sharing each other's lives. I mean, Shanna had treated this girl like her own daughter. She had cooked her food and wiped her butt and her tears, right? Like, so when this 13-year-old girl started ghosting her daughter and leaving her out of friendship group situations, this eight mom took it very personally. So Sophia, Shanna's daughter, had asked her mom to stay out of it. She wanted to deal with it on her own. She knew that Shanna had a lot of emotions and energy and that she felt like she needed to tread lightly. But that was so hard for Shanna to do. Eights take friendship very seriously. It can take time to work your way into the eight's inner circle. But once you are in, they will do anything for the ones they love. They are very loving and loyal and protective. So once you have earned their trust, you will have love, loyalty, and fierce commitment. It is very common for eights to hold a grudge forever to anyone who betrays them. So through life coaching, Shanna was able to process her emotions in a healthy way, which made room for her daughter, Sophia, to have her own reactions. So we talked about kind of the normal social development of middle school girls, which helped my client depersonalize the situation and make it just more normal. The friendship never went back to its original closeness, but Shanna learned how to tame her anger so she could be there for Sophia, her daughter, in a supportive and encouraging way when inevitably she's going to have other betrayals in the future or other friendships that fall out. And so kind of like helping her be that like encouraging, supportive, emotionally available mom. Aides can struggle to be nice because they see niceness as weak or vulnerable. So when they open up their hearts and their homes, consider it an honor and a privilege that you are allowed in. It is to be treated with reverence because it is a really big deal. Okay, you wonderful type aides who are out there trying to impose their will on their environment and make things happen. I remember my daughter was 4 years old and she just finished her swimming lesson. And she gets out of the pool and she dries off and she's just sitting there. And I'm like, okay, it's time to go. Your lesson's over. And she's like, no, it's not. And I'm like, well, yeah, you know, got to go. The teacher has another student coming. And she just sat there and she just looked at me. And with that determined look in her eyes, I knew she was not going anywhere. So I'm like, okay, here we go. We're just going to see what happens. And so I'm just hanging out, watching. Luckily, I wasn't in a hurry. And she is staring at her swim teacher, just looking at her. No steely looks, just like blank face. But with this look in her eye that I'd come to recognize as determined. So it's like 5 minutes, 8 minutes go by. Finally, this her swim teacher comes over to her and she's like, Megan, my next student didn't show up today. Would you like to go back in the pool? And she just looks at her and like, yes, I would. Like just like she made it happen. It was freaky, people. These aides have an incredible ability to manipulate their environment. I can't even tell you all the ways in which I've been manipulated and I probably don't even realize it. But when you can see and do it to others, whether it's cows or people, it's very impressive. And so our world needs that powerful energy. We want to make sure we channel it in a really healthy way. So here are three tips. If you think you might be an Enneagram 8, to sort of make sure you're channeling all this energy in a healthy way and giving you the outcomes that you want. Number one, when you feel the urge to yell, to demand, to offer an opinion or a suggestion, take a breath and ask yourself, what is the feeling I'm trying not to feel? What is this emotion that's happening for me in my body right now? Why is it so hard for me to sit in this moment? What is the worst thing that will happen if I don't say anything? And maybe I allow my child to like figure this out on their own. When you do speak, try asking a question. So let's say your kid comes home and they're like, oh my God, I can't believe the teacher gave me a bad grade. Like she lost my assignment. I know I turned it in, but she says she can't find it and it's not fair. And you want to go in and like yell and fight for fairness. And yeah, teacher's stupid. I can't believe this is happening. She's disorganized. She should be more responsible. You need to make sure you're staying on top of her, whatever. You're like throwing your opinions out there. Instead, just try taking a breath and say, maybe I could ask my kid a question to help them come to their own conclusion, help them solve their own problems. Give it a try. I know it's hard and I know it's not your normal, but it can help empower your kids to solve their own problems and think for themselves and have some of that energy that you've got so much of. Okay, the second tip of the day, if you're an eight, is to practice giving compliments to others. To an eight, giving a compliment can feel like giving up a piece of your soul. So challenge yourself to think about positive attributes that other people possess. And so first do it inside your head and then share it out loud with your children, your partner, your coworkers, or whatever. Because the more you do it, the easier it's going to get. And you're going to train your brain to look for the good. But I know it feels a little vulnerable. So I practice it while you're driving a car. Like let's say you're looking at people walking by. Think nice thoughts about them. Like, oh, I like her shirt. Or like her hair, or she seems nice. I like the way he talks to his kids. Try to think positive thoughts about other people and then practice saying positive things, compliments, one per day. All right. I promise you, the more you do it, the less scary and vulnerable you will feel. Okay. The third tip. Eights need to be aware of feeling punitive or vengeful because they can have a warped sense of fairness. So let people off the hook once in a while. While turning the other cheek might sound weak and gross, think about it as asserting your ability to impact others by creating a culture of kindness. Okay, so when you let people off the hook, I think of it as you're still controlling your environment. You're just doing it in a way that creates an environment filled with like forgiveness and peace and forward thinking. Oh, I love my eights. They're all popping into my head right now. Okay. It does make you wonder, like, what is it inside of me that made me want to marry an eight? And why do I feel like I gravitate towards them. I think I like their boldness and their fearlessness. And oh, you know what it is? Their inability to care what other people think about them. I think that's what I gain so much from being around eights. Many eights live with zero accountability because they're always in charge. So working with a mentor or a life coach can help eights take accountability, build trust, and ding, 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 humility, dare I say? Just a smidge. Confidence is awesome, but a little bit of humility doesn't hurt anybody. As they learn to feel safe exposing their softer side, they become more generous, more open-hearted, and able to help others reach their potential with powerful and profound unconditional love. Like, because the eights have so much energy and power, when they steer that towards love and helping others and generosity, it changes nations. So thank you so much for listening to this podcast about the Enneagram Type 8. I will love you and leave you. But if you have an 8 in your life, please join me in the Supermom is Getting Tired Facebook group and tell me all about it. I want to know. I definitely want to do a podcast about raising Enneagram 8 type children. So if you're raising one, stay tuned. All right, take care.
Want a free life coaching session? Go to lifecoachingforparents.com and schedule yours today. And thank you so much for listening. I would love it if you would subscribe and share these podcasts with your friends. If you have a question you'd like me to answer on the air, go to lifecoachingforparents.com/recordmyquestion and you can send me a voicemail recording or write me an email and I'll answer it on the air. Thanks again. Have a great day.